He's compassionate. He sees and he alleviates. He runs to the aid. He succors. That's how Paul puts it in Hebrews 2. He is able to succor them that are tempted. He runs to the aid of those that are in any time of trouble. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gollaher preaching the word today from Mark chapter 1, healing a leper. What a wonderful miracle the Lord Jesus performed very early in his ministry, that beginning of this Gospel of Mark, and really it was one of the outstanding miracles of the Lord to demonstrate his willingness to reach the very least and the last and to minister to their hearts. And of course, the truth is that Christ will reach to any soul and save the very neediest of souls. May the Lord minister to your heart today and bless you through these messages in song and in word. And now we move just to a few thoughts on this beatitude: blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And of course, we need to come to the focus of to whom should the believer, should the Christian extend mercy, and where should we exercise this merciful attitude? Well, right here in the home. The first focus is to be our family. Homes built by the law of kindness and forgiveness are godly homes, where even the dog knows that the family is converted due to the kindness that by which it's treated. The relationship and actions of husbands and wife should be based on mercy. And here is the great remedy for every Christian marriage. We're not long into our married relationship until we need mercy and we need the forgiveness of our partner. Extend mercy, not criticism, for everything. And someday you will need your wife's mercy or your husband's mercy. And you need that long suffering. Love is not a mere focusing on the physical, but ought to be based on compassion to the benefit of each other. And so I want to exhort you to obey the Lord and trust the Lord that you become a merciful man or woman. After all, the Lord Jesus was merciful, and he has dealt with us in that wonderful mercy that flows from the cross. And so I trust you'll be blessed today as we come to our message in song. Hallelujah! Jesus ransomed me. That's our opening song here today.
There's a sweet and blessed story of a Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me up. Alleluia, Jesus ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will never tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me, when I knew him what he sought me, and in love divine he ransomed me. Alleluia, what a Savior.
But you'll notice that there is another reference here to elders and their work, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And that is the office of teaching elder. We call it pastor, minister, and it is usually in a church a full-time office, a full-time work. You'll see the emphasis here on labor. The Greek word could mean fatigue. It simply means that it's hard work, and it takes time and effort and energy to consistently teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And that work should consume the vast majority of the teaching elder or pastor or minister's time and effort. That's why it says those that labor in the word. Now, churches too quickly give up on this because it is labor. And again, as was talked about at our annual meeting on Wednesday, the battle is on for Sunday evening services. And we are not immune to the apathy concerning preaching on a Sunday evening. It is to be mourned over that in many gospel churches today, and our own included, there is little appetite for the preaching of the word. I'm not even sure if we changed the format and went to other things that it would keep people. But when preaching goes, everything goes. One sermon a Sunday seems to be the status quo for many churches. And if we are not careful, and if we do not see God move in this congregation, we are in danger of losing the benefit of the preaching of the word on a Sunday evening. And we've got to realize that if we would do good in this world, a world of darkness, a world of spiritual ignorance, where many, even those inside the church, are ill-taught, we have a vast work to do. And preaching is first, it's foremost, it's fundamental to the extension and the mission work of the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at the life of our Lord Jesus and we see that he insisted, even when popularity was growing in town A, that he insisted, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. And why was he going? Look what it says. Verse 38, for therefore came I forth. This is why Jesus came into the world. This is his work. He didn't come to be popular. He came to proclaim the message of the gospel, the message of his Father unto men. For therefore I came forth. So there was a compulsion and a mandate that was given to him. And we're told in the next verse, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. There is that labor of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's the background to the question, wilt thou make me clean? What is the burden of the Lord to minister to men? It is great. And of course, the Lord healed this man and set him free. Now, we move on to see the Lord when he was personally sought. Now the leper came along and he came and bowed down to the Lord. It says in verse 40 that he became beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt. What would the Lord do to this leper? And no doubt these things are written for us. They're not just recorded for history's sake, but they're written for us. And whatever the leper knew, we know far more, because we have the whole story written for us here. The book is now written. But I can look at this scene and I can see the suspense. As this leper went running to the Lord, crying out to him, kneeling down at his feet, the crowd around would have looked on with bated breath. What will the Lord do with this leper?
They would think a leper is to be pronounced unclean. Shoo him away. That's what the law would say. And I'm sure it was with great expectancy or anticipation that they fixed their eyes upon the Lord, and they were just waiting second by second to see what will the Lord do with this beggar, this leper, right before him at his feet. And the first thing that we notice here, or they would have noticed at that point, was the Lord stretching forth his hand. Now remember, nobody was to touch a leper, but Jesus did. He stretched forth his hand and actually touched him. He did the unthinkable. And here we learn what was in the Lord's heart. Then you have those words in verse 41, that Jesus moved with compassion. Now, as you know, compassion is an English word. And I want to do a little word study with you tonight. We did one last week when we looked at the miracle before. But I want to do a little word study with you tonight on this word compassion. Because if we really want to know what is in the heart of our Savior, our Lord Jesus, to whom we pray and to whom we bring our problems, we need to understand what does it really, really mean that the Lord had compassion on him. Now, the dictionary, just for the English word, it means a deep sympathy and sorrow for another who was stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a desire to alleviate the suffering. Now, those two things must go together. Sympathy and a desire to alleviate the suffering. Again, to use the illustration, if you went to a doctor and he said, well, I know your problem, but I'm not going to do anything about it. You would say that doctor doesn't really care. He has no heart. To know, but not to alleviate, does not demonstrate this kind of compassion. And we can't understand the desire of the heart within this English word compassion unless there is a longing to alleviate the problem. Now, you couldn't be a compassionate person and just stand around with your arms folded. And that's certainly not what the Lord Jesus did. Now, we go from the English word compassion and we go to the Greek word that is translated into compassion. It's found 12 times in the Gospels, 12 times over. I just want to look at four of them tonight. This is Bible study. This is looking thoroughly at the etymology and the meaning of a Bible word that leads us to the character of our Lord Jesus. It's well worth the time. Matthew 9:36 is the first I want us to look at. And it's that time when the Lord Jesus noticed the people that they were roaming without a shepherd. Matthew 9:36, roaming without a shepherd. And we're told the Lord had compassion on the people. Now, what did he do to alleviate it? That's what I want to see. See, it's not enough just to be an observer and say, I see the problem. But what did he do to alleviate these poor people without a shepherd? Well, he went on to exhort that men should pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. Preachers, shepherds, guides to these needy souls. The Lord has compassion, and he alleviates. The next example is Mark 8, verse 2, and it's a well-known one. It is where, after a number of days, the people were hungry, and the Lord Jesus commanded the disciples to feed the people. And we're told in Mark 8, verse 2, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." Now again, he noted the problem, their hunger, but what did he do to alleviate? Real compassion finds a solution. And the Lord, of course, took the boys' lunch, created the food, and fed the multitude. He had compassion. Example number 3 is Luke 10:33, where you have the Good Samaritan. And you know how the priest and the Levite, they walked on the other side, and they wanted to get away from the problem. Oh, they saw the dying man. They saw the one who had been robbed and beaten up. They saw him bleeding. But they walked on the other side of the road. What did the Lord Jesus do? Well, he had compassion. The Samaritan had compassion. And the Lord commended the Samaritan for getting down to help the man, nursing him, pouring in the wine and the oil, and taking him to an inn and paying the costs. He had compassion. He did something about it. That's what compassion means. And if you're a compassionate Christian, you just don't see people in trouble, but you want to help them. You want to go to them and alleviate them in their need. The last example we'll look at tonight, it's not all 12, this is just 4 of the 12 places where this word compassion is found, is Luke 15. Luke 15, and of course it's the prodigal. And when he returns home, the father has compassion on him. Now, I don't have the verse. We can find it quite quickly, I think. And when he returns home, in verse 20, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a welcome he received. And then he got the colt and the fatted calf, the ring, the shoes. He got the royal treatment because it was his son who was lost is found. And compassion, in that case again, shows that he didn't just receive him as a servant. He says, well, come back if you have to. No, it was deep love with all the display of grace unto him. Now, when that word compassion is used of the Lord Jesus, in this instance, when the leper came to him saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord was moved with compassion. And the demonstration of it was he touched him. And he spoke the word to heal him. Now, is the Lord willing? Is the Lord a willing Savior to meet our problems and our needs? When you get on your knees with your tears and your cares and you cry to the Lord as your Savior, does he really care? He's compassionate. He sees and he alleviates. He runs to the aid. He succors. That's how Paul puts it in Hebrews 2. He is able to succor them that are tempted. He runs to the aid of those that are in any time of trouble. Now we come to the healing of the man, and we see where the Lord says, I will be thou clean. Now note the emphasis on what Jesus had spoken and the power that attended. I will be thou clean. And it says in verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken. And here again is another instance of the spoken word. It wasn't just the touch. The Lord spoke the word. And you'll notice that it was immediate cleansing. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. It was also total cleansing. It says, and he was cleansed. What a physician is this? What a doctor is this? What a healer he is! That the one he touches, the one he speaks to, is totally cleansed from that filthy, vile, rotten disease of leprosy. And then you have the testimony of cleansing. Verse 44. And Jesus said to him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony. Now the law was that when you're healed from your leprosy, or you think you're healed from the leprosy, you go to the priest, and he has the legal right to pronounce you clean. And this man was told to do that. So it was legal cleansing. And it came with a great testimony, so much so that he couldn't keep quiet. The Lord said, don't spread this too far. Keep it to yourself for a while. But he didn't, and he couldn't. He spread the news, so much so that the Lord had to depart into desert places. He couldn't go in those areas again. What a phenomenon he was. What a mighty testimony he was to the power of the Lord Jesus. Now, this passage of Scripture should do the same good for us tonight as testimony. Jesus is willing, even for a leper, even for a leper. And if you were in this meeting tonight, scarlet stained with the sin of this world, the sin of adultery or the sin of fornication or any manner of sin or blasphemy, the Lord Jesus will touch you and he'll save you. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. So the prayer life of Christ is behind the I will, the willingness of the Lord Jesus. The missionary life of Jesus is behind the I will. The one who wanted to go from town to town to town to preach the gospel, he never wearied of ministering to men. I will. And then the personal interest that he took in this man. He didn't shoo him away. He touched him. And he said, I will. And of course, now we know the end of the story. And we know that the Lord did completely, absolutely change him and accept him. So in light of what we have learned tonight, I want you to go home with this absolute conviction. Now, it would be unbelief. It would be sinful unbelief if you do otherwise. I want you to go home with the conviction that the Lord Jesus, whom we worship and serve, is willing. He's willing. He's not only able, but he's willing. And when you pray for family members, when you pray for particular souls, and you bring that name to the throne of grace, remember, Jesus is not only able to save, he's willing to save. And when they come to him, and should they come to him, he will not turn them away. Now, you and I need that confidence. I don't think you'll be in a prayer meeting if you don't have that confidence. And I don't think you'll spend any more than a minute on your knees this week if you don't have the confidence that Jesus is willing and able, or able and willing. We need that absolute confidence. And the question is, when men come as a beggar, a sinner to Jesus, is he willing? The answer is yes. Absolutely yes. And here is the event and the ministry of Christ to prove it in Mark chapter 1.
Thanks for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And I trust that this message on the preaching of God's Word, well, let it sink deep into your heart. And I trust that you will be a regular attendee at preaching and hear the Word of God preached, to make sure that your preacher is a sound man in the faith, and that he loves the Word, loves souls, and that he is preaching for eternity. A famous minister in the early years of his ministry spoke quite loudly. As he grew older, he spoke more quietly. A friend asked why the change. The minister replied, "When I was young, I thought it was the thunder that killed people. When I grew older and wiser, I learned that it was the lightning. So I determined to thunder less and lighten more." Oh, may we all learn that. It's not the volume, it is the depth and the light of the gospel that will reach souls. Henry Ward Beecher said to a young preacher, "You love to preach, don't you?" And the young man said, "I surely do," was the glowing reply. "But do you love the people to whom you preach?" And again, how important. We know that Peter was endued with power from on high, that he preached one sermon and 3,000 were converted. Today we preach 3,000 sermons and nothing much happens. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Richard Baxter said that I preached, as never sure to preach again, the message of a dying man to dying men. I trust that you today will receive the message of the gospel, and I must realize that I may never preach to you again. This may be the last time that I will plead with you to seek the Lord and get saved, to be ready for heaven and washed in the blood of Jesus. And if you don't do that, you're a lost soul, you'll go to hell. The Bible backs that up very, very clearly. And so you need to be born again. Jesus said it, ye must be born again. And woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel unto you. And so flee from the wrath of God and cling to the cross. And may the mercy of God draw you. And may the Spirit of God lead you to simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now stay tuned for these closing final announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.